What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It is noon in the District of Columbia. Toby Altizer in for JP on B. Mitch and Finley this week. It's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome in our guest from The Athletic. That is Sam Blum. You can follow him on Twitter at SamBlum3. Sam, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, man.
So you recently wrote an article before the moves made with Rizzo and Davey, talking about how before the season, Davey, Rizzo, those guys, even some players with the team, kind of talked about, hey, we need to get back to winning ways. We need to get to a spot where we're competing for something other than just last place. Mm-hmm. And then you end up in the spot where they're in right now. How much do you think that played into the decision that we saw on Sunday where they ultimately dismissed Rizzo and Martinez?
I just think it seemed like a little bit of a situation where the players, the coaches, nobody could really explain why they were in the position they were in. I even go back a couple weeks before that when, you know, Davey was talking about how none of this was on his coaching staff. And, you know, I think the implication of that is that this is on the players. And, you know, just you get into a situation where nobody feels like they're on the same page. I don't think maybe there's not as much trust in the coaching staff. Maybe there's a bit of a fracture there. And that could be the explanation that nobody really wants to say. I mean, I want, you know, for that article, I wanted to sit down with Davey one-on-one, but, you know, the PR staff said I couldn't. And then I reached out and approached Davey himself, and he was like, no, I'm busy. I got to go out. And he never, you know, made an effort to actually answer any of my questions, you know, in that type of setting. So it was just really like get the one question into him. And I just don't think anybody really wanted to explain why they were in the position they were in. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it's because it's gone really poorly. And I think that's probably why they made this move.
When you look at that team, for me, I don't think they have enough talent on the team to compete. So if they voice that the rebuild was over and they really believe that, they're not going to understand. But if anybody looks at that team, they know there's not enough talent for them to be competing at a high enough level.
I mean, I think that there's enough talent to be better than where they're at. I mean, you know, the last two seasons, they've won 71 games each. I think you could have reasonably expected with some of those players progressing a little bit, you know, some of the veterans that they brought in, this team would be at least better. And, you know, I don't think anybody thought they'd be competing with maybe the Mets and the Phillies, mm-hmm. Or even the Braves, obviously, who are, you know, in their own, you know, kind of malaise themselves. But I think people thought the Nationals would be a better team, and they just simply are a last place team. Even the Marlins, who have, you know, restarted their rebuild like 4 years after the Nationals, seem to be in a better position right now than DC. So it just felt like this was turning from a rebuild to just kind of like a perpetual stagnation. And so, yeah, they had to make some sort of decision. It's a little surprising, maybe some of the timing of it. But if you don't trust your front office to make the picks in the draft, then maybe this is why they had to do that. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but I think that could be.
Talking with Sam Blum from The Athletic about the Nationals, and I'm curious because you don't cover the Nationals on a daily basis. You cover the Angels, you also cover Major League Baseball as a whole, but I'm curious, when you look at Mike Rizzo, everyone around here, or at least a lot of people around here, still talked about him with a lot of reverence, and understandably so. He was the architect of the 2019 team that won the World Series, and the decade of the 2010s that led to a lot of success for the team. But I'm curious with how things have changed around baseball to where we're at now. Was he still viewed as a top executive, one of the top guys, or were we maybe a little bit biased toward Mike Rizzo in terms of what his actual view is around Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of a mixture, right? If you win a World Series, I think you earn the reverence, in my opinion, just based on the accomplishment alone, right? Like there's an element to that where you could just never, it can never be taken from you. And you don't win a World Series by accident either. So you have to, I think, appreciate that he built a team, you know, both through some really high draft picks, obviously, but also by, you know, some great decisions in free agency. You look at like Max Scherzer being, you know, very, very, probably one of the best free agent signings ever, I would say. So it's, you know, they made some really good decisions, but I think when you look in the last few years, maybe some of what they were doing was a little outdated. I know the Washington Post has covered that pretty well. Like, the technology, some of the elements of maybe strategy. I think that's probably, you know, maybe the way he was viewed as someone that had accomplished so much, but also maybe was kind of not updating the way they needed to operate to do that again. And I think, you know, that's certainly how I viewed it. And I think when in Major League Baseball, like I spent the last weekend in Colorado covering the White Sox and the Rockies, and it's not to say that the Nationals are any comparison to them, but I do think that when you're not doing the same strategies as the rest of the competitive teams in Major League Baseball, in this modern era of Major League Baseball, you're going to fall behind, and possibly by quite a lot. You're seeing it with some of the really, really bad franchises, but you don't want, as a Nationals organization, to even go in close to that direction.
So you ever heard the comments about them not having this pitching machine that most teams have? And I know a lot of people in this town played that the learners wouldn't spend the money. Well, if you're saying that a guy is stuck in the old school way, they may not want to do some of those things. Could that have been – like, I know the narrative is that the learners wouldn't give them the money. Was it just that they didn't go out and try to get that product?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly. It's tough for me to speak too authoritatively on that. I was reading, like I said, in the Washington Post about Mike DiBartolo, I think, being more analytically driven. I mean, mm-hmm. to some extent, that could be, you know, an ownership issue, and I think there probably is an element of truth to that, right? The ownership, and you can just look at the payroll. I mean, payroll is down from where it was when they were really competitive, you know, in the 2010s. I mean, that's a fact, and I think that's something that would tie directly to ownership. But yeah, I mean, there's also just like strategic ways of handling your front office that, you know, from what I've read, it sounds like that you know, their interim might be more embracing than Rizzo ever did. So, yeah, I mean, it's everyone's got their strategy. Some things work, some things don't. But I think if you're not operating like a very, very modern major league franchise, you're probably going to, you know, feel some pains from that.
I'm assuming you were out there for the series where they took 2 of 3 from the Angels not that long ago, one of the mm-hmm. really the final series that Davey had as a manager. What were your takeaways from being around the ball club just in general? Because I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, because Barry Svrluga of the Washington Post, I'm sure you read this piece as well, you mentioned you've read a bunch from the Post recently, is he talked about how Davey, Rizzo, and then even here on our station, 106.7 The Fan with the Sports Junkies, he kind of mentioned that there was an air of comfortability, almost complacency at times, maybe from Davey, maybe from Rizzo, but also a little bit from the players. Did you get that sense?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, just from talking to those guys, I think that was what kind of came through in the article, which was, yeah, I mean, like, no one really understood what was happening. But at the same time, you know, I think if you're the players, I can't blame them if they feel like a little bit detached from the organization when the manager is going out there and saying, you know, none of this is on the coaches. I mean, it's, you know, I think if you're a player, like, you want to feel like, okay, we're all dealing with this together. And I think there's a chance you could lose a clubhouse. It's very, very, very hard to get a clubhouse back if you've lost it. And, you know, they played really poorly after that comment. I mean, they lost a lot of games. They almost got swept by the Rockies. You know, I mean, this is, I think that, you know, I just, that's the way I look at it. Like, if you as a manager can't take responsibility, your coaches aren't taking responsibility for the failures, then the players are probably going to be like, well, I'm not going to take responsibility. And that was kind of the sense I got walking in that clubhouse, was everyone was like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, we think we're better than this, but it's what it is. And that's, you know, that I think translates to what Barry wrote, like you said, and just like an air of complacency. But, you know, I don't think that starts with the players. I think that starts from the top and it goes down to the players.
Well, Sam, you're looking at DeBartolo and also Cairo, both two guys that were on this staff that was here with Rizzo and also Davey. Do you expect the big change? I know sometimes coaches are on staff, and if you're not the leader, you know, you don't get your say. Do you expect something different moving forward?
I think that's why you make a move like this. It's not always because you sit here and say Miguel Cairo is our best chance to, you know, win a World Series this year. But, you know, you hope to mix things up, I think, and, you know, get a voice in there that people respect, that, you know, you know, everyone could kind of recalibrate and be like, we're going to do things a little differently. I think that's important. I think it's important for a manager in this position to step in and say, we're going to mend fences to some extent. We're going to fix this. You know, I don't know if that means the Nationals are going to go on a crazy run like they did, you know, 6 years ago and make the playoffs. But I do think that there's a chance you could see them, you know, maybe playing a little more inspired, maybe playing a little bit more like this matters to everybody. And, you know, that's what you do. You know, when you make a move like this, it's to shake things up and to signal to the team, to signal to the players, to signal to the fan base that this wasn't working and we needed a new voice. And I think people respected David Martinez. I mean, he obviously won a World Series. He had a lot of success. But you also, I mean, there is something to the fact that, like, these jobs, I think, are very finite in the amount of time you can actually be in them. And there's always going to be an end date on it. And this was just where it ended up for Davey, in my opinion. Like, he had been in this organization maybe too long, had that seat too long, and it was starting to, I think, cost the organization, and so they needed to make a move.
Talking with Sam Blum from The Athletic here on B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP this week. On a positive note, I know we've spent plenty of time talking negative about the organization with Rizzo and Davey being let go, but James Wood is a massive bright spot. Seeing what he's been able to do this season, how impressed have you been watching from afar and then getting to see him in person? How impressed were you when you got to see him?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, you know, he's one of the best players in baseball, and, you know, I think the funny thing, we talk all about Rizzo. I mean, at the end of the day, he made one of the best trades, I think, in modern baseball history with Juan Soto and what they got back. It's just he didn't do enough other good things. But, you know, that, like you said, like that, getting James Wood, getting C.J. Abrams, getting Mackenzie Gore, I mean, these are three all-star caliber players. You know, I know Abrams still needs to maybe find his way in, but, you know, they should all be all-stars, and certainly James Wood is one of the best young players in baseball, young superstar. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, could be a kind of Juan Soto-esque type of talent. So it's just, that was an excellent trade. The Nationals have some pieces to build around. I mean, that's why I think you make these moves. I mean, you have enough, but you have Dylan Cruz, you have, you know, James Wood, you have some of the best young talent in Major League Baseball, and they should be better. I mean, that's just the beginning, middle, and end of it. And now maybe they're putting themselves in a position to actually elevate some of this talent to the point where they can be better.
Now, this is like they weren't held accountable, and now I'm wondering, hell, can James Wood be better?
Yeah.
If he could be better, then he didn't get there because of some of the complacency, then, you know, maybe this is the right move, although the timing is off.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if James Wood could get any better, then that would be dangerous for the rest of baseball.
No question about it. One final one for me, Sam. When you look at the guys that are on this roster, that with the trade deadline coming up, Mike DiBartolo going to be able to kind of leave his imprint with the draft and then what he does at the trade deadline, are there guys that you think are reasonably attractive that contenders are going to want to go after from this Nationals roster?
Yeah, maybe like a Kyle Finnegan, I think probably was, you know, the name that jumps out to me. You know, I know that you don't want to subtract too much from the Nationals bullpen,
yeah,
given where what it's been like. But he'd probably be, you know, one of the best, you know, relief names out there. Maybe like in the Nathaniel Lowe or something like that. But yeah, they don't have a ton of guys that really stand out as super valuable. Like maybe Paul DeJong. But I would think Finnegan's probably the number one name on that list. And you know, hopefully he can get something back. But you know, the Nationals obviously will be adding in the next couple of weeks with their number one overall pick. They have a lot of good young players in their system already, so it's, you know, it's not like a make or break trade deadline for them, as I would say, which maybe played into why they made this move when they did. But it's still an important one, and I think you got to maximize, you know, anything you can really get at this point is what I would. They should be very aggressive, you know, even if it is like a Paul DeJong, who's not going to be incredibly valuable, but, you know, might be able to latch on for a prospect or two, then just do it. You know, just acquire whatever you can, whatever young talent can, you know, keep infusing your system. And I think that's probably the best strategy they can have. But there's not a ton of great, you know, obvious, at least, trade deadline chips, unless they want to, you know, make some more aggressive moves with even some of the younger players or players under team control for multiple years.
Sam, as you look at this draft coming up, has any player like stood out as the number one consensus guy, or is it multiple guys? Because like normally when a guy's the number one consensus, that's easy to pick. When you have two or three guys, you got to choose the best one. Then you show me your talent.
And it's interesting because it's, you know, I think the reason why this draft is interesting is that, you know, you have kind of two different groups of very available, interesting players, which is like young high school infielders and some really great college pitchers. And it really depends on where the Nationals kind of view their priorities. I mean, they could also always go Seth Hernandez at number one, which is an interest. You don't usually see that from a, you know, right-handed pitcher, high school pitcher. That almost never goes number one overall, but he's a supreme talent. So that's an option too. But really, I think it comes down to whether they want to, you know, build around, you know, a young high school shortstop or go for a more ready-made, you know, collegiate pitcher like, you know, a Cade Anderson, Liam Doyle, Jamie Arnold type player like that, or if they want to go Ethan Holliday, which I would think probably makes the most sense. Ethan Holliday probably is the more consensus number one overall pick, you know, or like, you know, Billy Carlson or an Eli Willits or something like that. But my guess is they'll probably just make the obvious choice here and go Holliday. But, you know, there's different avenues they can go. And I think it really comes down to if they are willing to be patient on a high school, you know, infielder or want to, you know, infuse that system with a pitcher that they can maybe basically put in the big leagues, you know, either by the end of this year or, you know, middle of next year.
If you were making the pick, would you go Holliday?
You know, I'm not a scout, but I would go with the talent that you think has the most upside. And if generally I would say that, you know, Holliday or, you know, Willits or Carlson, like those players, you know, those are the most valuable players out there. And that's probably what I would do. But you also got to trust your player development system.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not a ton of trust in that right now. So there's, you know, that's always something to consider too.
Yeah. Appreciate the time, Sam. Fantastic piece. And obviously you were just a bit ahead of the news that was to come a couple of days later.
Always, yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on, guys. Take care.
All right, man. Take care.
That's Sam Blum. He joined us from The Athletic. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. If you want more Nationals talk, just a reminder, coming up at 2 o'clock today to lead off Grant and Danny, Jason Worth going to join the program, and B-Mitch Mike Rizzo going to be on with the Junkies tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Oh, really?
His usual appearance, even though he's no longer with the Nets.
I wonder
Mike Rizzo still showing up for the boys.
Some of the answers, like, you know, some of the answers they give you, and it's expected you answer questions more in a political way because you're under contract. Does he answer things more openly?
Well, and does he still play it a little carefully because he maybe wants another job?
Yeah.
So, and I think that'll be interesting to see.
That's another thing, too, but hell. Hey, would they give you, you know, you said that they were supporting you and mm-hmm. giving you financial backing. Was that really true?
Well, I think I can tell you that answer. But regardless, we'll see what Mike Rizzo has to say. Going to be must listen tomorrow at 9 a.m. as Mike Rizzo joins the Junkies. Coming up next, let's talk about the Commanders tickets going to Madrid. Did you get some tickets today? Feel free to call in 800-636-1067. I did not get tickets.
I'm telling you. Somebody else just got them off of the site.
Absolutely. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. We're talking about the Commanders headed to Madrid next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.